In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If you have fantasized about the picture on the order of service being some kind of representation of your preaching experience in church today, you are doomed to disappointment. In the picture, crowds press upon each other. Their eyes are fixed intently on the preacher as they lean forward to catch every word. For the preacher in the picture is John the Baptist, a superhuman, towering figure, not the ordinary, vertically challenged Anglican priest you see before you now. However, as clergy, I am what today's collect describes as a minister or servant and steward of the mysteries of the gospel. So every year, today's collect is a prayer that the clergy follow John the Baptist in preparing Christ's way, that they use their knowledge to turn the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. But I am not going to search out acts of disobedience, and I am certainly not going to address you as a generation of vipers, as John did. No, it is this phrase, the wisdom of the just, that interests me as a point of comparison between John's preaching and how that might be interpreted in our own time. John the Baptist is regarded as a prophet for the warnings he gives of judgment, that is, to fall on those who are complacent and ignore the word of God. But his urgent preaching of justice and righteousness is also informed by the wisdom literature of the Bible. We can recognize in his preaching the practical lessons of the book of Proverbs, for instance. So when John's hearers respond by saying, "What shall we do?" he bids them to share what they have with the poor, and he gives specific instruction to those most open to temptation and corruption in their occupations of tax collection and the military. He teaches them to be righteous in their deeds, and righteousness can be regarded as the wisdom of the just in action. In the apocryphal book of the Wisdom of Solomon, there is the narrative of Solomon's prayer for the gift of wisdom to enable him to be a wise and just king. Those who desire wisdom and love righteousness will find that wisdom will come near to them and instruct them, and will in turn be honored by them. The book actually begins with telling kings to love righteousness. Those who are corrupt and use their God-given power, who neither learn wisdom nor keep the law, are threatened with sharp judgment from God. The particular responsibility of rulers to seek wisdom and act with righteousness has for us been brought to the fore over recent weeks, in the controversies over parliamentary standards and the alleged breach of laws by those in government. The message this behaviour of people in high places seems to convey is that they are somehow privileged, that they are immune to the judgment and possible legal action that ordinary citizens have faced, sometimes for lesser offences. This is precisely the attitude that John the Baptist inveighs against first in his preaching. There, it is not position or wealth or education that has led to a sense of complacency and immunity from judgment, but the people's consciousness of being the people of their father Abraham, the people chosen by God centuries before. John warns them that God can raise up other children, and that the axe is laid to the root of these ancient trees if they do not produce good fruit. So can we use this passage to enable us to feel vindicated, to feel justified in our own righteous indignation as the news unfolds of the behaviour of those who should know better? It is right that these matters are being properly investigated, and that if wrongdoing is proved, it should be dealt with accordingly. But our role is not only to be horrified by the news, it is also to examine ourselves and to follow John's general advice to repent. The version of this episode in Matthew's Gospel comes straight in with John's command to the whole crowd, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom of God is close to all of us, and as we listen to the news, we can ask ourselves whether there are aspects of our own lives that we should repent of. Can we sometimes feel complacent about our situation? Can we feel that our church membership creates some kind of assurance that we are regarded as good people, saved in the sense of being in some kind of haven from reproach? This temptation to find over-secure or even to feel over-secure or even self-righteous is acute when the actions of the government or any organisation make it easy for us to say that we, by contrast, would never do such and such a thing. But there is another course for us to adopt. We should recognise that whatever the shortcomings of those in power, they are doing their job on behalf of us all, and they need our prayers. And they need our prayers especially at times when we find their actions frustrating or unethical, remembering that we too are human and vulnerable to temptations in our own lives, as the broader reading of John the Baptist's preaching makes clear. In the Book of Wisdom, the emphasis is on the wisdom of the King who upholds the people, that we can play our part in espousing wisdom. For we also read in the Book of Wisdom that the multitude of the wise is the welfare of the world. As we express through prayer our recognition of the demands of political office in the context of our own shortcomings, we can aspire to both outward wisdom, our awareness of the world and our prayer for it, as well as inward wisdom, our own penitence. In this way, we can prepare for our celebration of Christ's coming at Christmas, but also for Christ's second coming. For both events, we are waiting, and waiting with desire for wisdom and righteousness in our lives and in the world. In the wisdom literature, wisdom is personified in the desire for her, and for us, Christ comes as the full embodiment of wisdom, the wisdom of the just. Perhaps we can now look again at the picture of John the Baptist preaching and catch something of his urgency and the people's awakening to the imminence of Christ, viewed through the lens of the present day. Our Advent longing, then, is both ethical and spiritual as we say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." In the name of God.